I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
Amen. Stephen, please come up.
Got my roadie with me again.
Anything else you need?
No. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you that we have this opportunity once again to come together. And we just pray, as we now think a little bit more about your word, that you will open our hearts, that you'll open our ears, that you'll open our minds to receive what it is you want to say to us this morning. But we do just again thank you for your presence now, and we just ask that we might hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I started to think about what I might share with you this morning, and the thought about fruitfulness came to my mind. This was a few weeks ago. And then last Sunday, if you were here, you'll remember that Wesley's already referred to this, started the service by talking about gifting and gifts, and in particular, I think the scripture was 1 Peter 4:10, which says, "The Lord has given gifts that we have received. As good stewards of his manifold grace, let us minister the same one to another and do so with the ability that God gives, to this end, that God be glorified through Jesus Christ." We've been given, as Wes has already said, we've been given so much by God, and it's important that we make use of what we've been given. And then Welbeck shared with us about the parable of the talents and about how vitally important it is that we use those talents or gifts to work, maximising the opportunities that may arise, the opportunities that God has given us to use those talents and those gifts wisely. So much of what I want to share with you this morning kind of builds on what Wes and Welbeck shared last week. And we shouldn't be surprised, should we, when that sort of thing happens, when the Lord tells different people the kind of message that he wants to get over. And maybe God's wanting to tell us something over these few weeks about what it means to receive gifts from God and how we make the best of those gifts that we've been given. So I want to think a bit this morning about the word fruitfulness and what fruitfulness means. What does it mean to be a fruitful Christian? Why is it important that we're fruitful? And how can I maximise my fruitfulness, if that's the right phrase? So what's meant by fruitfulness? Well, if you think about a vine, it produces grapes, doesn't it? If you think about a tomato vine, it produces tomatoes. If you think about a banana tree, it produces bananas. So what are we as Christians to produce if we're a branch of the vine that's Jesus? What type of fruit should we be bearing? And there are two things that I want to say at the outset this morning. The first is that as branches of the true vine, we should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And it should be the fruit of the Spirit that shapes who we are, that defines our character. We should be demonstrating evidence of that Spirit in the contacts that we have with people, in the relationships that we build with people. There should be evidence, as we've already read in our lives, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we should be demonstrating those things in the way in which we behave, in the way in which we relate to each other within this fellowship, and the way in which we relate to everybody who we come into contact with in this world. We should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And secondly, we should be bearing fruit that comes from using the gifts of the Spirit. As we were reminded last Sunday, every one of us has been given gifts from God, gifts from God's Spirit. And they will be inevitably be different gifts. In Romans 12, 6 and 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And as Welbeck said last week, we should be diligent in using the gifts that God has given us. So if you've been given the gift of encouragement, then it's important that you use that gift to encourage others, that you take every opportunity to use that gift in encouragement. If it's the gift of teaching, then you should be alert to every opportunity that God gives you to teach. If you've been given the gift of generosity, then please see me after the service. I just want to draw your attention, though, to a phrase in that, that phrase of the Spirit. We should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And we should be bearing fruit that comes from using the gifts of the Spirit. I recently read this. The fruit and the gifts are supernaturally given. Supernaturally made. They're spiritually given, and they are most effective as they are done in the Spirit's timing and power. That's why it's vital that we remain connected to Him. Look again at those verses that Dee read. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from that, you can do nothing. He is the vine, and we are absolutely dependent on Him. But how often do I try and do things in my own strength? How often do I try and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in my life through my own means? I try and do it perhaps without the spiritual power behind it. The branches of the vine are not designed to produce fruit, only to bear it. They're totally dependent on the vine for the fruit. It's the vine that produces the fruit and the branches that bear it. Our fruitfulness, therefore, is totally dependent on Jesus and on the Holy Spirit working in us. Sometimes when I'm challenged myself by the need to be more fruitful as a Christian, I get the wrong end of the stick. And I think about productivity. I think, well, what do I need to do? I need to be busier. I need to go to more meetings. If there's a rota, I need to make sure my name's on it. If there's churches asking for volunteers, I need to make sure that I'm at the front of the queue. And that's something about the way we live, I think, sometimes. We put so much emphasis on productivity, the need to get things done. When I was working, I was supposed to spend a bit of time thinking about things and developing plans and strategies. But I always felt guilty if someone came into the office and saw me just sitting there. Because I think, he's asleep. Maybe with his eyes open, but he's not really doing anything. And so I always felt the need to demonstrate I was being active, that I was doing something, that I was busy. And sometimes, perhaps, in the past, I thought that to be fruitful meant that I needed to be busy all the time. I needed to be doing jobs. In the passage in John 15, Jesus says, uses the term bearing fruit on a number of occasions. And there is a significant difference between producing and bearing fruit. The word producing focuses on my work for God. The word bearing focuses on the impact of God's working in my life. I'll say that again. So the word producing focuses on my work for God, while the word bearing focuses on the impact that he has on me working through me. So bearing fruit is not about being productive. It's not about how busy I am as a Christian. If the fruit in my life is always defined as the product of my labour, the work of my hands, the outcome of my own efforts, then I've missed the point that Jesus is making here. Jesus is inviting you and me into an intimate relationship with him so that we are filled with his Holy Spirit. And as that Holy Spirit works in us, works in me and through me, then my life will bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But it's allowing God's Spirit to work in me. So why is it important that my life as a Christian is fruitful? I read this recently. The purpose of people and living things is to be fruitful and multiply, and glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the purpose of our life. Our life is to be fruitful in order that we might glorify God. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren writes, God never wastes anything. He would not give you abilities, interests, talents, gifts, personality, and life experiences unless he intended to use them for his glory. That's why we've been given gifts and talents, so that we might use what we've been given in order to glorify him. So the fundamental reason for us to be fruitful is that in being doing so, we bring glory to our Heavenly Father. The first commandment God gave man after creating him was to be fruitful in Genesis 1:22. Therefore, God's really interested in the believer's fruitfulness. Christ demanded that we must bear much fruit. Again, going back to John 15, Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. God desires that we should be fruitful, to bear fruit, not just some, but lots of fruit. And bearing fruit demonstrates that we are Christians. We're Christians because we're followers of Christ. In John 15, we read, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You see, when we bear fruits, God is not just glorified, but we also prove to God that we are truly Christ's disciples. It's so easy to say the words, to profess to being a Christian. What's difficult is to prove it, isn't it, in our lives? That phrase, walking the talk. To achieve this, I believe that we must bear fruit so that we can be worthy as real and genuine Christians. Faith on its own is not enough. As Welbeck commented last week, we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. And in James we read, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Faith is more than just a belief. It's the substance that motivates and inspires us to live our lives according to the will of God. If our faith stops in just being a belief, we're no better than demons, are we? Because they also believe and tremble. So this faith must be accompanied by works. It must be accompanied by the bearing of fruit. Another reason I'd suggest that it's important that we are fruitful is that in being so, we bring help to the church. 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We've been given gifts and talents, not only to bring glory to God, but also to support and minister, encourage and be of benefit to our brothers and sisters. When we use our gifts together, we all benefit. If we're fruitful in the way in which we use the gifts and talents that we've been given, then we not only bring glory to God, but we help, encourage, bless, and demonstrate our love and our unity with each other. God expects us to be fruitful, not just for his own pleasure, but he wants us to be fruitful because it's good for us. God loves us, and he knows that in bearing fruit, that helps us to have a more fulfilling, happier, and blessed life. Bearing fruits helps us to grow spiritually. The command to be fruitful is for all of us. And there's some encouraging words in Psalm 92 where it says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of our Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God." And here's the encouragement for some of us. "They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no wickedness in him." Bearing fruit is not just for certain people. It's not just for the younger people. It's for everybody. And they will still bear fruit. Even Wes will still bear fruit in his old age, as long as he stays fresh and green. So thirdly, how can I be a fruitful Christian? Not only how can I be fruitful, but what can I do in order to maximise my fruitfulness? In Mark 4, we read the parable of the sower. And you'll remember that the sower went off to sow, and some of the seed fell by the wayside. Some of the seed fell on stony ground. Some fell amongst thistles. And other seed fell on good ground. And there was a good crop, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. In verse 20 of chapter 4 of Mark, it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So how is it decided in my life whether I'm going to bear 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold? Well, I think the answer is in that verse in Mark 4 that I've just read, those who hear the word and accept it. Whether that hearing the word is through reading it or through meditating on God's word, whether it's through prayer, hearing God speaking to us, whether it's through a word of prophecy, hearing the word is obviously vital. But the degree of our fruitfulness is also dependent on the extent to which we act upon the word when we hear it. The extent to which we accept what God is saying to us, the extent to which we are prepared to step out in faith, trusting in him. And sometimes that word can be quite challenging for us, can't it? It can take us out of our comfort zone. But it may be pointing out gifts and talents that we haven't previously recognised or acknowledged, but that God wants us to use and demonstrate. To maximise our potential for fruitfulness, we need to hear God's word and we need to accept it. So how is it decided how much fruit my life will bear? Well, we need to go back to John 15 and verse 5, where it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the important phrase there is he who abides in me, or he who remains in me, some translations say. Various commentaries on this passage have said that abiding in Christ is the act of receiving and trusting in all that God has for us in Christ. If a branch remains or abides attached to the vine in such a way that it's receiving all that the vine has to give, then that's a picture of what John means by believing or trusting Jesus. Abiding is believing, trusting, savouring, resting, receiving. Abiding in the vine means receiving and believing and trusting in what Jesus says to us. It means receiving the love of Jesus for the Father and for his people. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And the first few verses of Psalms sums that up in a way. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So abiding in the law is, abiding in Christ is about delighting in his law, delighting in his word, delighting in the time that we spend in communion with him. If we're not united to the vine so that Christ's life is flowing through us and into us, then his words, his love and his joy will be merely will be just totally barren. Nothing of any lasting value will remain. It's absolutely vital that we remain in him, that we abide in him. So firstly, the goal of abiding in Jesus is to bring glory to God. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I just want to finish this morning what I wanted to share just with a further reflection. And it's really about where we find ourselves in the world at the moment. And the world is filled with terror, with fear, with uncertainty, with real concerns about the future. But we have a future, don't we? As God's people, our future and our hope is secure. After many years in the wilderness, the children of Israel had come to the bank of the River Jordan, and where Joshua instructed the people of Israel to wait 3 days before crossing water. Then we read in Joshua 3, verse 5, that Joshua said to the people, sanctify or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. So having been trusting most of the time, not all the time, Israelites in God's word, they were now at that position of moving into the promised land. And they were instructed to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart for God. And the Lord, if they were to do so, promised to do wonders among them the very next day. That promise is available for us today. God has prepared good works for us to do. And he's given us the talents and the gifts that we need in order to do those works. And he's given us the power that we need through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We need to pray and to take the step of faith needed to accomplish all that God is calling us to do, to take the opportunities that are presented to us, to use those gifts and those talents which we've each been given by God, and to use them, as Welbeck challenged us last week, to use them diligently. Each one of us are called to consecrate ourselves to God, to to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart for God, to walk with him day by day in the light of his love. And if we do that, despite all the terrible situation the world finds itself in, all the gloom and doom that's around, if we concentrate ourselves and we set ourselves apart, we sanctify ourselves, then he has promised that he will do wonders amongst us. Don't you think that's fantastic? Are we ready for that here in Cranbrook? Are we willing to step out across the Jordan as the children of Israel were told to do? Are we willing to consecrate ourselves for God's service so that we will see the wonders that God has in store for us? That promise is surely a cause for hope, for excitement, for wonder, and for thankfulness and praise. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for your word. And we thank you for the instruction that your word gives us. We thank you for that instruction to bear fruit so that we might bring glory to you. And we just pray that you will move in each one of us through your Holy Spirit to show us how we can maximise our fruitfulness, how we can bear much fruit for you. We are willing, and we just pray that you will show us the way. We thank you again for the gifts and the talents that you've given each one of us. And we just pray that we will be obedient in responding to the opportunities that are presented to use those gifts and talents to bring glory to your name, to demonstrate love for our brothers and sisters, and to reach out to a needy world. We just thank you for the promises in your word. And we just want to think about that promise that if we set ourselves apart for you, then you will do wonders here. We want that. We're excited about it. Just pray that you will give us the courage to step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.